Well, today is our communion service at the back of the books, and I want to explain a little bit about each part of the communion service. So instead of one main sermon, I'm going to give four little separate talks, and I promise they will be little. And the communion service starts with prayers of preparation. First of all, as we prepare for worship, we're getting ourselves straight to come into the presence of God. So one of the prayers, for instance, says, "Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts." That's a very good prayer as we approach God in worship. Some people say that we don't need to confess our sins because Christ has forgiven us once and for all, and we should live in the grace of that. Now, it's true that we are saved, but it's also true that we sin daily, every one of us, and our relationship with God is damaged every time we sin. St. John says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And then at the end of the prayers for forgiveness, the confession, we have what we call the absolution. In our service order here, the service leader assures us of God's forgiveness. Now, traditionally, lay ministers pray that God may have mercy on us. And ordained clergy declare that God does have mercy on you. But to be honest, I wouldn't go to the stake for that difference, because Christ gave authority to his disciples to declare the forgiveness of sins. But I will say, I do think it's important that we don't miss out that bit, that we are forgiven. We need to have assurance that our sins are forgiven. And then often we'll come to the Gloria after that, a response to forgiveness. One of the lines in that is, "You take away the sin of the world." And then often the collect prayer is a prayer for the particular week introducing the theme. And then after that, we're ready to hear God's word to us in the readings and the sermon. So I'm going to hand back to Helen now to lead us in our confession, our prayers of preparation.
The reading is taken from Exodus 12. Verses 1 to 4, and then moving on to 11 to 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbour, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with that each person will eat." Moving on to 11. "This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat this in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. a lasting ordinance. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Second reading is Corinthians 1, chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Harry and Gillian. We'll just pray for Ian as he comes to speak to us.
Actually, I'm going to read it for the reading, if that's all right.
Oh, you are, are you?
Just to confuse
Well,
things.
I'll allow you to do that.
The third reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. John 6. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever."
So, just pray for Ian as he comes to speak to us, and for us that we really understand and take, sort of learn afresh and be reminded. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to learn afresh the purpose and significance of the communion that you gave us in Jesus. And so we ask that you inspire Ian by your Holy Spirit as he speaks, and to us throughout this service that we really take deeply into our spirits a fresh and renewed and living understanding of what we're being taught. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Helen. So, a little second talk on the word. If you step back a little bit from the communion service, the whole first half of the communion service is about the word of God. And the second half is more about the sacrament, the bread and the wine. Word and sacrament. God speaks to us, God feeds us. The two things go together. Perhaps evangelicals will spend more time emphasizing the word, and Catholics will spend more time emphasizing the sacrament, but all of us need both of those in our lives. Traditionally, we have one or two readings and then the gospel at a communion service. And the gospel gives us a focus on Jesus. And then the sermon, this bit, is meant to explain the word of God. Now, of course, it can start somewhere else, like perhaps some happening in the news, or a favourite hymn of the preacher's, or perhaps a special topic like communion, as we're doing today. But it should always have something of the word of God in the sermon. Otherwise, it loses its power and its impact. Today's readings that I chose specially are all about communion, starting, as Harry read, with the Passover meal in Exodus. And then, as Gillian read, Paul explaining how Jesus at the Last Supper turned that Passover meal into the remembrance of his own sacrifice on the cross. And then in John's Gospel, as we just heard, Jesus teaching how eating his flesh and drinking his blood gives us life, eternal life, and we shall live forever. Now, those words of Jesus were so shocking. They're shocking to us. They sort of almost imply cannibalism, don't they? They were doubly shocking to the Jews, who were forbidden from blood or indeed from eating the flesh of any unclean animal, and indeed particularly human flesh. Those astonishing words, they're worth actually reading several times, worth rereading to plumb the depths of what Jesus meant by eating his body and drinking his blood. The sermon, of course, should be different to a talk, an ordinary talk, just as the Bible is different to reading an ordinary book. And so you should pray, both when you come to read the Bible and as we come to a sermon. Helen has just prayed for me and indeed for all of us. You should be asking God to speak through the words of the sermon. It should touch your heart and soul, as well as your mind, and it should have a more profound effect than an ordinary talk. It should encourage you, it should bring you closer to Jesus in spirit, and even change your life. When you're learning to preach, we sometimes ask, so what? So what? What's the point of what you've just said? How can this be applied? What can people take away? And then, after the sermon, we come to the creed, or more recently, various alternative affirmations of faith. And that's our response to the word. When we hear the word of God, we should be full of faith and want to affirm our faith in him. And then we come to the prayers, or intercessions, when we bring the needs of the church and the world before God. After that comes the peace. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. And actually, the Epistle of James is also very clear that you cannot love God if you hate your brother or sister. So one purpose of the peace is to give an opportunity for reconciliation so that we are bonded together in the body of Christ. Another purpose is simply the expression of fellowship in Christ. So as we celebrate communion together, we are one body. And lastly, in this section, as we turn towards communion, we might bring forward our offerings, the donations in the plate, and perhaps bread and wine ready for the communion. So a third little talk, particularly about the Eucharistic prayer, which is a posh word for the communion prayer. Eucharist is a Greek word. It means thanksgiving. And if you go to Greece on holiday and you want to say thank you to somebody, the modern Greek word is ευχαριστώ, which is basically the same word as Eucharist. What we're doing is we're thanking God for Jesus Christ and his death for us, his body broken and his blood shed for us, represented here in bread and wine. We're remembering what happened, the Last Supper and Christ's death on the cross. And that's what the experts call the anamnesis. It's a Greek word meaning recollecting and remembering. So every Eucharistic prayer will have a section reminding us what happened to Jesus and what he did for us. And then after that, the prayer goes on to a section praying for God's blessing on the bread and the wine, and also for God's blessing on us, his people. Experts call this the epiclesis, again, another Greek word, meaning the invocation or the calling down of the Spirit of God, both on bread and wine and on God's people gathered here in this congregation. And then as the prayer finishes, we turn to the Lord's Prayer, which of course is the most famous prayer of all of them, which brings us near to the heart of Jesus as we come to receive his body and his blood. And then comes the breaking of bread. At the Last Supper, you probably remember that Jesus, he did several things. He took bread, he gave thanks to God, he broke the bread, and then he distributed it to his followers. And as his body was broken on the cross, so we break bread before eating. After his resurrection on the road to Emmaus, you remember the two disciples walking down the road, and it was actually as Jesus broke bread that they recognized him and their eyes were opened. And some even refer to communion as the breaking of bread. So we're going to turn towards that prayer now, and I shall pray those words from our service book. A fourth talk about receiving communion. As we eat bread and drink wine, in our stomachs we digest them and turn them into energy and new cells for our bodies. Literally, we are what we eat. And the communion prayer asks God to make that happen spiritually also, so that we receive the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and our spirits are given energy and built up. The body and blood of Christ are taken into us and become part of us. After we've received at communion, it's good to have a moment of silence at that point to underline that God is present in this significant moment. Sometimes we might invite communicants to pray at this moment for healing or for some other need. And it's a moment full of the grace of God. In the pandemic, we tried to do communion over Zoom remotely. But if you're not together with the body of Christ, it lacks something. Likewise, if you're ill or housebound and have to receive communion at home, it lacks something from being together with other members of Christ's body. Now, for that reason, we have communion assistants to take communion out to people in their homes. And then finally in our service, there are some thematic post-communion prayers and a blessing, and then usually some notices and fellowship together.
Now may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself, the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service, the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.